Thanks for joining us online today. You're about to hear a message from Family Church. Now, if this ministry has touched your life or changed it in any way, we would love to hear your story. Please email it to us at changedlife@familychurch.tv. Now, don't forget to follow us on Twitter or Instagram, or go to Facebook and like our page. You can also head to YouTube and click that subscribe button. Thanks again for joining us today, and we hope this message blesses you in some way.
As we begin this morning, I just want to read something to you. And I'm going to read it because I don't want to mess it up. Church is hard. It's hard for the person walking through the doors afraid of judgment. It's hard for the prodigal son or daughter returning home after being battered by the world. Church is hard. Hard for the woman who looks like she has it all together, but she doesn't. It's hard for the couple who fought the entire ride to service. We have revival breaking out in this section. It's hard for the single mom surrounded by families. It's hard for the widow with no invitation to lunch after service. It's hard for the singer overwhelmed by the weight of the lyrics in the song. It's hard for the wife whose husband always stays at home. It's hard for the nursery worker who can't have a child of her own. Church is hard. It's hard for adulterers, liars, cheaters, and slanderers. And I'll go ahead and add, church is sometimes hard for pastors and sinners like me. The church is also a place where we are saved by grace, filled with God's Spirit, and surrounded by friends. Amen. Church is holy ground where sinners stand as equals before the throne of God. The church is a refuge for the broken and a training ground for mighty warriors. The church is a place where sin is confronted and restoration is offered. Church is a bearer of burdens and a giver of hope. Church is a family coming together, setting aside our differences, forgetting past mistakes, and rejoicing even in the smallest of victories. The church is a circle of sinners turned into saints by the blood of Jesus. So even on the hard days at church, the days when you're at odds with your sister, when you fought with your husband because you're late once again, when you've walked in bearing burdens heavier than your heart can handle, yet masking the pain with a smile on your face. When you've worn a scarlet letter under a microscope of judgment. When you've longed for a baby to hold or fought tears as the lyrics to a song were sung. When you've walked back in afraid and broken after walking away. Remember, Jesus has never failed to meet you here. Church is hard. But it's also a place of hope. Those are good words. And I'm glad you're here today. Even if you've had a hard week, I'm not going to ask you to raise your hand if it was hard to get here. But I have a feeling that for many of you it was. But Jesus has never failed to meet me here, and he has never failed to meet you here. And this morning, as I said earlier, I already feel his presence, and I know that he is doing great things in this place. Now, this is our fourth week in a series that I'm calling Homeless, and we're learning about the church and why you need it. So I want to go ahead and just read our text. It's found in Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 23, and we're going to read this in the Message translation. Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 23 says, "Let's keep a firm grip on the promises that keep us going." He always keeps his word. Let's see how inventive we can be in encouraging love and helping out, not avoiding worshiping together as some do, but spurring each other on, especially as we see the big day approaching. I just love that verse, and we've read that every week, and I know that the Lord has been speaking to you through that, and he's going to continue to speak to you through that verse this morning. A few years ago, I read a book entitled, "They Like Jesus, But They Don't Like the Church." Has anyone ever read that book? It's an older book. And the author is a friend of mine named Dan Kimball. And Dan traveled around the country for 2 years interviewing people in coffee shops. And he just wanted to talk to them about their relationship with God. And so he went in with no agenda. He just wanted to see where people were at with God. And I can't think of a better place to do that than a coffee shop. So he goes in and he sits down and he just strikes up random conversations with people about their relationship with God. What he discovered was this. It's pretty amazing. What he discovered is that the majority of unchurched people actually have no problem with Jesus or his expectations. In fact, they like Jesus and they want to know more about him. That's what he discovered. Their problem wasn't Jesus. Their problem was the church. And what he found was that most people who weren't currently going to church had a bad experience, and so they just decided that they had a better shot in life without the church than with the church. And so out of that, he writes this book, and it's just coffee shop conversations. And it's a great read. You should get it sometime, and you'll see exactly what I'm talking about. They like Jesus, but they don't like the church. And I think there are at least three reasons for that. First, not all churches are good, and I can see why some people might feel better off going it alone. Now, you're in a good one this morning, and you need us. And we need you. So remember, don't be the banana that leaves the bunch, because then you get peeled. You're in a good one. Second, Satan will be quick to point out to you all the things wrong with the church. When you walk into church, the devil is never going to point out all the things that are right with your church. And I can tell you, if you're in the right church, there are more things right than there are things wrong. But we are all people, and none of us are perfect, and the church will never be perfect until we get to heaven. And if you find a perfect church to go to, once you're there, it won't be perfect anymore. Sometimes you say things out loud that you never meant to say out loud. So not all churches are good. And then number two, Satan will point out all the things that are wrong with the church. And the third reason is they just haven't found an authentic body of believers with whom they feel connected. That could be the third reason. Now, I believe one of the quickest ways to paralyze the enemy in your life is to personalize the church. One of the quickest ways to paralyze the enemy is to personalize the church. Why? Satan fears the church meaning something to you. He doesn't want it to mean anything to you. He just wants it to be another place where you go on Sunday. So he fears the church becoming personal to you. And my hope in this series has been to help you understand why you should be committed, why you should be connected, and why you should be contributing to the church. So here's a brief recap of where we've been. In week one, if Jesus could not fulfill his destiny without the church, then neither can you. In week two, the church should be your go-to place if you want to learn to center your life around God. In week three, which was last week, the church is a place to sow. And when you give to God, you will reap. You believe that? I do. We went through all that information last week about how that when you're giving to God, you're not just giving, you're sowing. You're sowing into a kingdom that cannot be shaken. So this morning, we're going to spend our time this one last week in this homeless series, talking about how the church is a place to grow. Now, since I've been on staff here, I've gained 10 pounds. That's not the kind of growth that I'm talking about, although it has happened. Growth means life. Church was never meant to bore you or drain you. Church was designed by God to breathe fresh life into you. That's why we're here this morning. So God can breathe fresh life into us. A little boy and his mother were walking down the church hallway. The little boy noticed the hall was lined with pictures of men and women. He asked his mother who these people were. She said, "These are in memory of those who died in the service." He said, "Which one, 9 or 1045? I write my own jokes, so. There's a story in the book of Acts that I love. It's in Acts chapter 20, if you want to read it later today. The Apostle Paul's preaching, and there's this guy out in the service named Eutychus. And as Paul's preaching, Eutychus falls asleep and falls out the window. Is there anyone here that has never heard that story? Okay, I see a few hands out there. And the Bible is really specific about this story. It says that Paul is preaching and he just goes on and on and on and on, kind of like I'm doing now. And that Eutychus is sitting in the third story window. And he goes to sleep. And he falls out the window and he dies. Now that would be bad if that were the end of the story. But if you keep reading, Paul stops preaching, he goes outside, and he raises him from the dead, leads him back inside, and starts preaching again. Now, if you fall asleep here and die, I'm leaving you dead. You need to be awake. And here's the point to that story. When life feels dead, the church will help you catch your spiritual breath by putting you in the environment of the Holy Spirit. The same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead. I don't know about you, but as we were worshiping earlier, I could feel the Holy Spirit in this place. I can feel the Holy Spirit in this place even now as the word is going out. And so the church is here to help you catch your spiritual breath when life starts to feel a little dead or a little flat. And just like Paul revived Eutychus, the Holy Spirit will revive you. Now, this is important. In order for you to move on in life and become all that you were meant to be, you cannot remain who you are. And so the church, when operated correctly, is designed to help you grow into the person that God created you to be. So what is spiritual growth? Well, spiritual growth is typically referred to as discipleship. And the word discipleship simply means to teach and to train. That's what Jesus did with his followers. He was there to teach them, and he was there to train them. So as you grow in discipleship, something amazing happens. Not only do you become a better follower of Christ, but you actually become better at everything that you do. So as you're growing in your relationship with Jesus, you're actually growing in every area of your life. So as you become more like Christ, you become a better parent. You become a better spouse. You become a better employee. Someone asked me last week, how many people work at your church? I said, about half of them. Where are the staff? I'm sorry, guys, for that. It's not true, by the way, but you can't miss an opportunity. When someone sets you up like that for a joke, you can't miss that opportunity. You become a better employee. You become a better friend. You become a better neighbor. You become a better boss. You become a better sibling. You become a better person in general. So discipleship isn't just about teaching you how to unleash your spiritual gifts and turn them loose on the world. It isn't just about helping you rein your flesh in so that you stop acting contrary to the Spirit. Discipleship actually makes you better at everything that you do. And so the church isn't just a refuge for the broken. It's also a training ground for mighty warriors, mighty in here and mighty out there. And I want to show you this in the scripture. The more you're taught and the more you're trained in the ways of God And the more like Jesus you become, the more successful in life you will be. Across the board. Now, I know people, and so do you, who are always complaining, always whining, always on the short end of the stick, always down and out, and in general are just a real pain in the rear. And in my experience, the majority of these people are not plugged into a supernatural family that we call the church. They're not being taught and they're not being trained. And so not only are they floundering in their spiritual life, but they're floundering in every area of life. Why? Because discipleship is about teaching and training. And so the more like Jesus we become, the more successful we become in everything. And so it just all goes together. So one of the primary functions of the church is to help you succeed in whatever you're doing. Now, let me give you an example. We know that Peter and John left their fishing business behind to follow Jesus. We know this because the scripture says that. But there's no real evidence in the scripture that Luke stopped being a doctor. And we know for sure that the Apostle Paul continued his career as a tent maker after he met Christ. We know that for sure. So these men continued in their careers as they were being taught and as they were being trained. Now, I've never, been a tent maker, but I'm guessing in a day without modern machinery, it wasn't all that thrilling. And I'm guessing that Paul had a few days where he woke up and he thought to himself, if I have to make one more tent, somebody's going to die. Do you ever have a day like that at work? If I have to go to that job one more day, I'm going to have a nervous breakdown. Of course you do. So Paul continued in his career, and so did Luke. But here was the difference. Paul wasn't just making a living, because after he met Jesus, he began making a life. And your job may not be all that thrilling, but remember, your primary function as a believer isn't just to make a living, but to make a life that includes Jesus in whatever you're doing, and that's success. And so as you're growing in your relationship with God, you're growing in your vocation as well. So now you're not just standing at a welder, you're representing Jesus. And when you burn your finger and you don't cuss, you're spiritually growing. Right? So the church is here to help you with teaching and training, not just for spiritual purposes, but for practical purposes as well. 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 18. It says, but grow, everybody say grow. Grow, in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be the glory both now, that's talking about your everyday life, your family life, your job, your marriage, your church life, anything that you do that's everyday. He says, to him be the glory both now, and talking about your everyday life, and to the day of eternity. That's talking about heaven. So he's looking not just to heaven, but he's looking to now. And then it says, amen. That means so be it. Another verse, 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 15 says, be diligent in these matters. Give yourself wholly to them so that everyone may see your progress. Okay, so you're progressing. In our relationship with God, we're supposed to be growing and we're supposed to be progressing. And the church is the place where you can learn to do both. And as you grow and progress in your relationship with God, then you're going to grow and progress in the everyday things of life. How many of you are with me so far on this? Okay, you're going to be better. You're going to be better. Like I said, a better husband, better father, better wife, better employee, better son, better daughter, better friend, better neighbor, as you learn to be like Jesus. Now, on Wednesday of this week, I'm driving through town, and it's early in the morning, and I get a text message as I'm driving through town. And the text message says, I see you. And I didn't know who it was from, because I missed that part. So I'm looking around in the mirrors. I'm looking out the windows. I'm looking in the back seat. I'm looking all over. And it turned out to be Brandon Carnahan, who's here today. And when I stopped at the next light, because I don't text when I drive, and neither should you. It's a true story, by the way. I stopped at the next light, and I said, it's a good thing that I was behaving myself. And so I came to church, and at staff prayer, I thought, well, I'm going to use this. This is a great lesson. I said to the staff, Brandon saw me when I was behaving, and he sent me a text that said, I see you. But I wonder how many people have seen me acting in a way that doesn't bring glory to God that could send me that same text. I see you. Wouldn't it be great if every time you acted in a way that was contrary to the Spirit, God sent you a text message that said, I see you? How many of you think that would be a good idea? How many of you are terrified? Yeah, you should be. So when Paul told Timothy that he should be making progress, what was he talking about? Well, if you go up to verse 13, you'll see what he was talking about. 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 13, Paul says, until I come, devote yourself to sitting on your porch with your Bible and your coffee, privately enjoying God. Is that what it says? Until I come, what? To what? To the public reading of scriptures. To preaching and to teaching. Now, that sounds a lot like church to me. So let me ask you this. Are you devoted to the public teaching and preaching and reading of scriptures? Because that's what Paul told Timothy. So at Family Church, we want to follow Jesus' model of discipleship. Jesus grew his disciples in the things of God while at the same time mentoring them and preparing them for life. And that's, you know, those of you that don't know me real well yet, that's a big part of my heart. I want to prepare you to be as much like Jesus as you can be, because I know that if I do that, it's going to help you in the rest of your life as well. And that's exactly what Paul was telling Timothy. He was saying, devote yourself to the public reading of scriptures, to preaching and to teaching. Why? Because I think it's easier to get dressed for church than it is to get dressed for life. Okay? So, you grow in several ways. How do you grow? You grow by knowing God's word. You grow by trusting God's wisdom. You grow by obeying God's commands. You grow by fellowshipping with God's people. And you grow by developing God's character within you. Okay? That's how you grow. So I want to close this morning with just a couple of more thoughts that I think are going to help you. How do you know if you're spiritually maturing? Because you may be sitting here and you don't know. Maybe you put some thought into it, but you really don't know yet if you're growing or if you're spiritually maturing. So let's talk about that this morning. How do you know if you're spiritually maturing? Well, I think the primary way to know that you're spiritually maturing is when you can pass what you have on to others. It's when you can reproduce what you have in regards to your relationship with Christ in someone else's life. Okay? So if you can't reproduce another Christian based upon what your life looks like, then you're not growing. So it's important that we understand this morning. I love the story of how DJ came to Real Life Church. Where's DJ? Is he around here? Okay, there he is. Do we have that handheld mic? Is that somewhere nearby? Where's Kevin? It's in this bag. I just want to... Nope. He took off with it. That's okay. Maybe we can get... Do we have another one in the sound booth? You guys, quickly bring it up here. I love this story, and I asked DJ if he could tell us this in less than a minute. And if you know DJ, that is going to be really tough for him. And if you don't know DJ, he sings on the praise band, so just take that right over there to him. And just in a minute or less, he's going to tell us how he came to Real Life Church.
A minute, really?
Yeah.
Okay. I had a ton of people that I worked with that kept inviting me to church, and I was at a point in my life where I was ready to find one, but not a one of them was any different than me. We still said the same jokes, it was still the same language, it was still the same behavior, everything was the same. But there was another guy I worked with that it seemed like an overnight switch for him. I'd worked with him for 13 years, he comes up to me one day and he says, "You need to come to church with me." And in the back of my head, I'm like, there's something different about him. And when Wes Law invited me to come to Real Life Church, and I came and I listened to Larry, I was like, I can see how this has changed his life. And I was telling Larry this morning, it's like what Paul preached about, don't be a stumbling block. All those people that were inviting me to church will never, behaving that way, bring another person in, because they have to take a look at him and say, well, it's not doing anything for you. So why should I go where you're going?
Mm-hmm. All right. Thank you. Yes. I love that story because DJ and his family, they didn't come to Real Life Church because I was the pastor or, you know, we had a nice building or any of those things. They came, because of the difference that DJ had seen in Wes at work. Where's Wes? Is he here? Oh, there he is, right there. So, yeah. So when you can reproduce another Christian based upon what your life looks like, that's when you're growing. That's when you're growing in your relationship with God. So the church is here to facilitate growth so that you can reproduce the character and nature of God in others, okay? So discipleship began in DJ before he ever stepped a foot in the church. And honestly, that's the way that it worked in the Bible as well, okay? Peter's first experience with Jesus took place in a fishing boat, not a church. Matthew's first experience with Jesus took place in a tax office. That's a good place to pray. Paul's first experience with Jesus happened on a road. Discipleship, which is training and teaching, began in a boat, in an office, and on a road. So you know you're growing when other people can look at your life and they can see something in you that will change them. Now, how many of you got a text message just now? I see those hands that are going up. What does it say? Now, I can't tell you for sure, but I'm pretty sure this is from God. Because we didn't have anything to do with this. Where's Kevin? Did we? I told Kevin before the service, there will be some people from Family Church not here doing what they're not supposed to be doing. And they're going to look down at their phone. So we have a backup text that you will be getting shortly that says, thank you for participating in our experiment today at Family Church. So I'm glad that God doesn't text me when he can see me doing something that I'm not supposed to be doing. But I'm also glad this morning that God can see me. He can see me when I'm doing what I'm not supposed to be doing, and he can see me when I'm doing what I am supposed to be doing. The church is here to help you grow, to help you become more like Jesus. And I don't know about you, but I need all the help that I can get. I need all the training. I need all the teaching. I need all the right relationships. I need all the prayers. I need the environment of the Holy Spirit. I need all these things to keep my life moving in the proper direction. And so do you. And so when we come here, we're not just coming here on Sunday because that's the thing to do. No, we come here on Sunday so that we can be trained and taught to be as much like Jesus as possible. And then that's going to begin to bleed over into every other area of our lives. Let's stop right there. You can stand with me. So the band is coming back and the prayer team is coming forward this morning. Let's just go ahead and pray. Lord, we're thankful for this good day. We're thankful for every person in this room. And Lord, I know that we are all at different places in spiritual growth. I know that there's some who maybe haven't been in the kingdom all that long, and there are others, Lord, who are obviously more qualified to be standing here teaching than I am, because they've grown just leaps and bounds, and their lives are just bursting with your goodness. And so, Lord, my prayer today is that no matter where we're at, maybe we feel like we're just kind of getting our spiritual bearings, or maybe we feel like, you know, we're finally getting of age where we have a few things figured out. Lord, my prayer today is that we will just go on to that next place of growth, that next place where we become less like we are and more like who Jesus is. And I thank you today, God, that you are equipping us, that you are empowering us, that this is the environment of the Holy Spirit where we can have fresh life breathed back into us. And that as we learn your word together, it transforms us from the inside out. And so when we leave here today, we are going to be better at everything. We're going to be better at our job this week. We're going to be better. We're going to answer softer to our kids this week. We're going to be more forgiving to those around us that maybe are a little irritating or aggravating. Lord, we're going to be better for having been in your presence today. And we're thankful, Lord, that you're willing to work with us no matter what stage we're at. And we're grateful today. In Jesus' name.